Our scripture this morning will be out of the book of 2 Timothy, and we'll be reading chapter 2, and that's on page 1810 in your companion Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shame profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Our subject this morning will be found several places, of course, throughout the scripture, but the verse in particular is found in the verse of Ephesians, or in the chapter, in the book of Ephesians. And the subject is the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. A couple of years ago, we had a two-part study on this subject. At the time, it was entitled The Anatomy of a Christian, and with regard to what can a Christian do to be what he should be. Therefore, how should a Christian think? How should he act? Is he a passive individual? How should he speak? How should a Christian relate to others? In the workplace and around. What should be his frame of mind with regard to his Christianity? How should he treat others as a Christian as opposed to one that's not? Well, surprisingly, there is a great deal of evidence in Scripture that characterizes the attributes of a Christian and how to achieve those in one's life. It therefore becomes possible for those who are seeking to turn their life around or are trying to find the will of God for their life, to have a good set of guidelines here in the Word of God. Not only to their own life, as well as others within their family can learn from this person in the family, in a life that is not only an example to others, but one that is pleasing to the Father as well. To begin with today, I want to briefly review some of these attributes before we look at our subject, the renewing of your mind. By the way, these attributes are not something to make you holy or perfect. Holy means to be set aside for a portion of God's plan for the ages, to be set aside. And you cannot be good enough to redeem or save yourself as a part of that purpose. That is only possible by His grace, that we can be made righteous and without blemish. And of course, as we know, that's only through the finished work of Christ on His cross, where He died for our sins. So here are 20 different attributes that I have picked out of the Scripture that speak with regard to a Christian and what a Christian ought to be. And one of the first things that I noticed was described by the word thankfulness. There are 150 references to this in Scripture. So sometimes just by the sheer number of a word, you can sometimes begin to see the importance of it with regard to God's plan. Be thankful. Don't take things for granted, but remember to say thank you to God for all of His goodness to us and also to your friends and family. The second I would say that I described and I found is the word joyfulness. You see, happiness and joy are two different things, and we've covered this in the past. Happiness is dependent on what is happening currently at any given moment. Joy, on the other hand, is a more primitive state and comes from having a knowledge of God's purpose and plan. And there's collateral blessing from that. If you cannot articulate God's plan, if you don't have some concept of what is going on in the last 3,000 years, you cannot be happy. Everything seems to be up in the air and questionable. The third word that I would point out is patience. Patience is linked with hope in the Scripture. In Romans, there's a direct command to hold on in faith and endure with patience. In a crooked and perverse world, there is much to endure, but we are admonished to be patient with regard, because it's obvious that God's patience is long with man. The fourth word I would point out is humility. You know how we like to have our own way. It's so natural to be that way. But the Scripture says to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, remembering that you are not what you think you are, what you think you are. Prayerfulness. Prayer is a lifting up of the mind through Christ to the Father above. It is a state of mind, not merely a time set aside to pray. Paul teaches us to pray without ceasing, and of course not in vain repetition, which you hear so much of in prayer. So pray without ceasing. It becomes more a part of your thinking on a daily basis. Otherwise, you could not pray without ceasing. You wouldn't get anything else done. It becomes a part of you. It's a part of the way you think, the way you're thankful, the way you're joyful, all these, all your humility, all of these things become a part of your daily life. It becomes a part of your prayer as it's continuously in your life. Pray without ceasing. Another word is confidence. The Lord told Joshua to be strong and confident, not afraid or diminished. What happened? He was confident and the walls came tumbling down for him. Discernment and understanding. The average person may be clever, they may be smart, they may have a mind that is just unbelievable, high IQ, but only by the enlightenment of Scripture can we have great understanding. Philippians 1, 9 and 10 is a scripture that addresses that. Another word is submission. Therefore, subject to the powers that be. Submission not only to God and his thinking of what life and what a Christian should be, but also with regard to man. There's certain laws that we learn. For example, smoke causes cancer of the lungs. So you have to abide by some of these things that we know, not our own selfish ways. There's ways, for example, in marriage that we must follow. Scripture gives us understanding with regard to that as well. So submission to God's laws and man's laws. The ninth word would be quietness. When things aren't going our way, often a torrent of words flow, only making matters worse. And you've heard the expression, it's sometimes better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. When you are vexed, mad, angry, it's usually better to keep your mouth shut. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still in my strength and know that I am God. The tenth word would be relaxation. Turmoil exists in the world, but the Christian relaxes in the Lord. He is our refuge and strength. Don't be so uptight. In the annals of time, what we see on TV every day in the news, trivia. The next word I would point out is peace. No doubt we live in a crooked and perverse world where there is a steady flow of negative news. But earthly wisdom cannot bring peace. Christ alone is the Prince of Peace. And surprisingly, I can't help it, but the verse comes to mind there in Matthew where Jesus says, think not I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but war. Don't worry about it. We've seen the last chapter. We know what's coming eventually and how that peace will come to be. The 12th word would be compassion or sympathy, not just in trouble, but in rejoicing as well. Also, not resenting others' good fortune. You know, there's people who are very fortunate and others are not so fortunate. It's just the luck of the draw. But have compassion and sympathy no matter what. 13th word, graciousness. The Lord has been gracious. The Christians should be gracious also. He should also be steadfast and dependable. Be constant, not whipped about between the emotional highs and lows. So often you see this steadfastness and dependability is a marathon event. It's not a bunch of 100-yard dashes. Paul says, be cautious to not be tossed about to and fro by every doctrine or every bit of information that we find daily. Christ does not change. He is always the same. So should you be, because of what you understand and know. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. How to renew your mind. Another characteristic of a Christian is kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another rather than refusing to do that. Christians should be friendly. Proverbs says, a friend loveth at all times. The Christian should be friendly. If you don't have good friends, perhaps you should take a look at yourself. 17th word, not boastful. Don't need to say much about that. Don't brag. Number 18, wisdom. Be wise. You need wisdom. Why? Why do you need wisdom? You ever think about that? The reason you need wisdom is because it safeguards the truth. It allows you to separate that which is true and that which is false, if you have wisdom. Number 19, I would point out as being honest. We find that in the scripture throughout. And the last would be knowledge. The Christian's greatest need is to know him and his purpose and plan. So, if those are the goals according to scripture, the big question is, the $64 question, how are these attributes achieved in one's life? How does one go about changing their life for the better? How is the will of God for your life found? You know, it's not something that you just happen to stumble across one day in the weeds and you say, oh, there's the will of God for me. It's not that. How does one set about to get on the right track? Well, Paul teaches that it is the renewing of your mind. And how is that done? The renewing of your mind. Well, first, if you happen to notice in Tim's second chapter there of Timothy, the 7th verse of that chapter says, Paul speaking with regard to Christ, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give you understanding in all things. Consider what I say. The key here is consider what I say. You want to change your life around counselors, rehabilitation, all those things are second place. You must first consider what he says, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. And the word consider is called upon in considering to use your mind. In other words, wake up, think, ponder, consider what I say. The process after initial belief and faith in him starts between the ears. That's where you begin to change your life. The renewing of your mind is between your ears. It requires some mental perception with the mind if you want to please God with your life. And then it's also not found in Facebook and other places. A bottle of vodka, a certain drug, it's not going to help. That's not changing your mind. You must consider what he says. You cannot be caught in the ways of the world and please him, or be at peace and with all of the attributes of a Christian that we just described. The reason for needing to renew the mind The problem is the mind of man has been impaired by the fall of man, the entrance of sin into the human race. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And here we find the answer. Ephesians chapter 4. And in that fourth chapter, go down to, first of all, we'll look at verse 17. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Paul's speaking here specifically about the Corinthians. They had no real purpose, it seemed like, no folly. They had all folly, no purpose. There was emptiness of life in the Corinthians. It was bad. It was worse than what we find today, I think. Vanity, foolishness in the word, example, dumb things that the mind can think are a good thing at the time. And you see it all the time in today's culture. Ridiculous programs on TV. But this vanity or this foolishness is much more than stupid tricks. It includes all immoral, greed, pleasure, acts of violence, from flying off the handle. Oh, I'm so depressed. Give me a pill. Give me a counselor. Give me some heroin. Give me some vodka. Verse 18. Consequently, I add that word, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Consequently, as a result of all this frivolity in culture today, understanding is darkened. You're unable to perceive clearly. Actually alienated from God by ignorance, lack of knowledge, like Paul says, not using the mind. They then have no feeling for others and find themselves hardened to the point that they become alienated from family, from friends, society. In short, they become first-class jerks. And you see it every day, not only on TV, but around us all the time. Verse 19, these being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. They now have no feelings for others. Lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Well, basically it's lust, sexual desires outside the marriage, and fornication. And turning into greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. The truth is, Christ Jesus and reasoning can never lead to the truth or renewing of the mind if only comes through him. The truth is in Christ Jesus, and renewing can never lead to the truth or a renewing of the mind. It only comes through him by considering what? What he says. We must consider and look at the word and see what he says about these attributes that we talked about. Verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, there it is. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you wish to set your life in a different direction, renew your mind with the Word of God by considering what He says and applying it to your life. We often quote verse 2:15 that Tim read, study to show thyself approved. The approved is not salvation. The renewing of the mind comes after belief, and then growing in the grace and the knowledge of Him much more. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, he shall receive a reward. So there's a reward for this renewing of the mind. And it's only possible through the Scripture and study of His Word to understand His purpose and plan for the ages. I encourage each of you to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity whereby we can have peace that the world cannot understand by the renewing of our mind. Pray that we all will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You, that we all may be rooted and grounded in Your love. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.